Genesis 19, verse 27 says this, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you again for the opportunity to open your word, Lord. God, I thank you so much for the word of God, Lord, that it points us in the right direction, God, that it's true, that it always is true, that we can rely on it, Lord. And God, I pray you would please help this to be understandable to the guys today, Lord. I pray that it would be helpful. Lord, help them to really get the gist of the concept that we're talking about today, Lord, and God, that you would help us all to be challenged by it, by the example of Abraham, Lord. I pray you would help us with that. Lord, he was a great man, not a perfect man, but a very good man, Lord, and a man that pleased you. So we pray you would help us to follow his example. Pray you would give something to every guy today. As long as they're listening, as long as they're trying, Lord, give them what they need today. And please, Lord, help me. God, I can't do this myself, but I desperately just with great desire, I need your help, Lord. I pray that you would give me the right words and thoughts and spirit, and Lord, help the guys to hear your voice through the preaching. Make us more like you. God, we don't want to be more like us. We want to be more like you. We pray you would change us to be more like you today. We love you. Bless the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you guys for standing. So I'm going to read just what we read before, but I want to have this sink in if we can, and then I want to hopefully explain it as we go. All right, so Genesis 19, verse 27, the Bible says, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." Guys, this to me is such a powerful scene that's presented in these verses. It's a picture that's striking. As Abraham is overseeing this smoke, overseeing the damage that Genesis 19, just so you know, guys, pay attention to that. Genesis 19 is a very, I don't even know the word. It's disgusting, but it's also God's judgment being rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah. God is blowing up Sodom and Gomorrah. You say, why? Because of how wicked they were. Okay? This is where we get the term sodomite, all right, as far as homosexuals and all that. This is what they were doing way back in Genesis 4,000 years ago. They were doing this wickedness, and God hated it then. God hates it now. By the way, God hates all sin, all right? So sometimes we can beat so much on that, and we should. But God hates all sin, all right? So we need to keep that in mind as well. But God is blowing up the places of Sodom and Gomorrah. But guys, you say, Brother Tom, these simple verses, why are they so striking to you? Because guys, this day is a culminating day of so many decisions. What I mean is things have built up. This is not a random event. It says in verse 27, Abraham got up early. He went to the place where he would meet with God, where he stood before the Lord. Okay? In our vernacular, that would be his devotional place. That would be where he would meet with God, where he would pray to God, and he would have God speak to him and direct him and guide his life. This is where he would confess his sins. This is where he would lay himself open and bare before God and say, God, I need your help. I need your strength. Can I tell you guys, listen, this is the secret to Abraham's success in his life. This is his strength. Listen, Abraham was not a perfect man. We could go into stories of how he messed up. He lied 2 times saying that his wife wasn't his wife. It was his sister because he was scared. You know, that tells me that he had weaknesses. That tells me that he had fears, Kevin. That tells me that he was not a perfect man. But the majority of Abraham's life, guys, he was a man of faith. He believed God. He did great things for God. So, guys, this is the key to his success. So imagine the picture with me. He's going out, Tim, in my mind, a secluded place, a private place, no one else around. He's out there. He's meeting with God. And as he's out there meeting with God, he can see a ways across, perhaps in another valley. It says in the plain there, so maybe he's on a mountaintop area. But he can see across on the landscape, on the horizon. he can see the smoke coming up in verse 28. The smoke of what? The smoke of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed, devastated by the judgment of God. Guys, this is a striking picture to me because he's there and he's overseeing the smoke. Listen, Abraham's life is blessed. Doesn't mean everything's perfect, but he's going in the right direction. He's doing what God wants. He's pleasing God with his life. But just a little ways away, you see the smoke kindling up of a town and a people that had rejected God and now, Zach, are suffering the consequences of it. It's a very striking picture. The contrast is amazing to me, guys, and I hope it will be to you as we go through today. Again, this is the day of culmination of many decisions. Listen, guys, we talk about, you know, a team winning a championship or something. And Zach, guys talk about the dream of that moment where, you know, the clock hits triple zero and they're the champions. Their team scored more points than the other and they're champions. And they get to hold that trophy up and they're celebrating with their teammates. That's a day of culmination. Guys, they didn't wake up that day for the first time and say, you know what, I think I'm going to play football today. Or I'm going to play basketball. That's a lot of training. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of effort. That's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that have been invested into that thing. And that's the day where it pays off. To me, this is the same kind of situation. All right, how does that fit with us? You say, Brother Tom, this is 2021. I know that. Thank you. And this event that we read, guys, is 4,000 years ago. That's a long time. So how in the world could this possibly help us? Guys, because to me, it represents two ways of life, two ways of living. And listen, it's available to every single person in the room, me and you, everybody here. Okay? We can follow one of these two ways. It's available to every person here. And both ways seemingly have their advantages. Both ways seem very appealing, guys, but be careful, pay careful attention, because one leads to joy, one leads to misery. One leads to fulfilling your purpose, one leads to foolishness. One leads to pleasing God with your life, another is just being popular with the crowd. And one, as this story and these verses kind of indicate, leads to victory, the other leads to destruction. And you can fall into it, and I can fall into it. This might be a little bit of a different kind of message than what you're used to hearing from me, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you. This is what I want to preach on, overseeing the smoke. Amen. Overseeing the smoke. Listen, young man, you can be on either side of this, and so can I. All right, and I hope this will make sense to you as we unfold it and as we unroll it to you. Overseeing the smoke. Abraham's over here, and his life is peaceful. His life is blessed. His life is moving in the direction that God wants it to. But yet a little ways away, there's a city that has been destroyed because of their wickedness. And let me tell you something. We'll read about the guy involved in it. But there were some Christian people involved in that too. All right? So, first point, overseeing the smoke. Notice, first of all, the steady routine. The steady routine. Again, guys, verse number 27. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Can I tell you something? This was not his first time. Yeah. This was not something that he just started. This was not his New Year's resolution that he was going to try out in verse number 27. Guys, this was not random, by chance, or by accident. Can I tell you again, this is a culmination of many, 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 many times that Abraham met with God. Listen, Abraham wasn't always in the place where God wanted him to be. Abraham wasn't always blessed. Abraham didn't always have things going for him. But can I tell you, a continual pattern in his life, a steady routine in his life, no matter if things were up, things were down, things were out of control, or everything was set in place, he would meet with God everywhere he went. He left the Ur of the Chaldees, and we'll read these verses. He would meet with God. He would travel this place. He would meet with God. He would go this place. He would meet with God. Listen, guys, this was a daily routine. This was a priority in his life. That is the secret to Abraham's success in his life. Listen, and it'll be the secret to your success in your life. Listen, the steady routine. Again, guys, this seems so peaceful and so quiet and so simple and so serene when you read verse 27. It seems like a normal verse. You could throw it anywhere in the Bible, it almost seems like. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Now, this is funny, but you ever watch the cartoons and it shows the morning time and it's maybe on a farm and it has that little song. That's what I imagine here going on in verse 27. It's peaceful. It's quiet. He's out there by himself. He's meeting with God. Listen, he's out there saying, God, I need your help. God, I need your blessing on my family. God, I need your direction in my life. God, I don't want to waste my life. He's out there and he's meeting with God. It's a great picture. Notice in the verse here, the represented priority. It says, Abraham got up early in the morning. Listen, guys, he didn't put it off. He didn't say, if I get around to it, I gotta get some other things done. And then later on, we'll see what happens. We'll see how my schedule plays out. No, he said, first thing, as soon as I get up early in the morning, I'm getting out there. I'm meeting with God. If I don't get to talk to him, that's fine. If I don't get to talk to her, that's fine. If I don't get to go there, that's fine. But I'm going to, for sure, meet with my God first. Thing. How about you?
Good.
How about you, young man? Take care of it right away. First thing in the morning, meet with God. That's the most important moments of the day in your life. Listen, don't worry about everything else you got to do. You put God in his proper place, and his proper place is first place.
That's right.
The steady routine, the represented priority. Psalm 5:3 says that he wants to meet God in the morning. In the morning, let me find these verses to read to you real quick. 5:3 of Psalms, the Bible says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. David's crying out to God saying, Lord, again, I'm not going to put you off at the end of my schedule. I'm not just going to do everything else and then see if I can get around to talking to you. He said, in the morning, I'm going to pray to you. In the morning, I'm going to direct my prayer to you, my cry unto you. And I'm going to look up. I'm going to anticipate that, God, you're going to come through for me. Hey, guys, it's a represented priority. Hey, what do you get after as soon as you wake up? What's the driving force in your mind? What's the leading cause in your mind? Listen, Abraham, as soon as he got up, he's meeting with God. He got up early in the morning. Got them King James words in there. Got up, all right? Listen, he got up there and he got serious with God early in the morning. I don't like getting up early. I don't know if any of us do in here. All right, maybe the Campbell boys. I don't know. Maybe passed down from your dad. Okay, good. I feel better now. All right. But I don't think we like getting up. But you know what, guys? I tell you, when you get up, get with God. Listen, by the way, I've heard some people, and guys, you can read the Bible any time of the day, and it's a good thing. All right. At night, in the afternoon, in the evening, whenever it may be. But start out your day right. Hey, why should I mess up my whole day and then get to the end and say, God, I want to meet with you? Well, that's good, but you messed over all these 25 people that you dealt with throughout the day that you screamed at and cussed at and had a terrible attitude towards. No. Doesn't make any sense. Flip that around and have God meet with you and set you right at the beginning of the day so that the rest of your interactions through the day, God can help you, God can bless you, and God can help you handle yourself properly. All right? The represented priority. Notice this in verse number 27. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Now, I believe this is referring back to Genesis 18, which we'll deal with later. But can I tell you, this was a regular place. It says to the place. There was a specified particular place that Abraham had to meet with God. Guys, where's your place that you meet with God? That's important.
Yeah.
That's important. Listen, where's your specified place? I understand schedules get thrown off sometimes and you got to do it on the run. You got to do it different places, different times. I understand that. But where's your normal place? Listen, maybe it's somewhere in your house. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's riding to school. I don't know where it may be. But guys, can I tell you, you need to get a place where you meet with God. You say, why do I need to hear this? Because this is the secret to you sustaining a Christian life that's strong, that's vibrant, that's firm, that's not wishy-washy. Listen, this is what it's all about. Listen, we look at these great men that our classes pattern after. And sadly, some of them have gone on to be with the Lord just recently. But you know why we looked up to my dad and Brother Jack and Brother Chuck, and we still look up to Brother Tripp and Brother Bob and so many others, our pastor? It's because, listen, guys, it's not just because of their personality. It's not just because they're cool or they got they care about other people. All those things are great. But can I tell you the secret to their success is they meet with God. That's how Brother Chuck got all those people on the bus. That's how Brother Bob has joy. That's how my dad preached all those years and stayed firm with God. That's how Brother Jack had his life transformed and turned around and served God with the rest of his life. Because they met with God every day. How about you? Do you have a place to do that? Where is it? Can you show me in your house, or can you show me somewhere that's a regular routine that you meet with God? God's going to show up, and I hope you show up to that place to meet with Him. Guys, there's not, you can do it anywhere, but there needs to be a specified place.
Yeah.
A specified place that you push everything else aside. Forget the phone. Forget the TV. Forget my friends right now. I'll talk to my family in a little bit, but I need to meet with God. Do you have a place like that? Can I challenge you? If you don't, please get one. Please get one. And guys, you don't have to light candles and get all spooky with it. But you need to have a place where you talk to God and God talks to you. And as I said, listen, Ethan, there's sometimes I got to read my Bible on my phone. And there's different times and different places things come up where that gets changed around. But you know what? I need to get back to my particular place. I need to get back to that regular place. And Abraham had a regular place that he met with God. The Bible says that you need to find a secret place with God so that you can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. And guys, it was a relationship with a person at the end of verse 27. To the place where he stood before the Lord. Abraham wasn't out there just getting a suntan. He wasn't just getting some fresh air or just starting off his day peacefully. He could drink his coffee and watch the sunrise. No, guys, he was out there for the purpose of a relationship with a person. He wanted to be strengthened. He wanted to be sustained. He wanted to be nourished. He wanted to be fed. He wanted to be built up and edified. And he said, Lord, I'm going to get out here early, showing my priority, getting to that particular place that I've reserved to talk with you. And God, I need you to show up for me. Hey guys, do you have that? All right. That's dealing with verse 27. But let's, if we could, here in a second at least, we'll go back. Guys, can I also tell you about, you can go to chapter 12. I'll meet you there in a minute. That'll save me a moment here in a second. But can I also tell you as I'm leading up to that, this was a removed place. As we talked about, all right? Ariel, he can see just a little ways away in the distance. He can see this city burning. The flames, the smoke are rising like huge billows into the air. Looking like smokestacks way out in the distance. And then just the air, the smoke just waffling in the air. And he can see that. Guys, it was removed from that. Can I tell you what Sodom was about? Sodom was about partying. Sodom was about drinking. Sodom was about all kinds of filthiness and nastiness. Listen, things were moving in Sodom. Things were happening in Sodom. Listen, there was a lot of activity. Can I tell you where Abraham was? Wasn't like that. But can I tell you he did that on purpose? Guys, again, there's nothing wrong with activity as long as it's righteous activity, good activity. But what they're doing in Sodom, as we know, was very wicked. Can I tell you Abraham removed from that? Guys, there's a time when you need to get away from the cell phone. You need to get away from the news. You need to get away from the da-da-da-da-da-da on your phone and all those updates and all those alerts and what's happening with the NBA trades and what happened with the NFL playoff. Forget all that for a while. You need to get away from the business. You need to get away from all those people talking to you. Listen, guys, there are thousands and perhaps millions of channels out there. You can turn anything on and you know where you're going to find someone talking. And it can be about any variety of subjects, thousands of subjects. You can turn on the radio, every channel, somebody talking, somebody talking, somebody talking. Sometimes I'm driving for work and I just turn it off and say, because sometimes you got to get away from it, guys. His place was removed. It was removed from the crowd. It was removed from their course of life. By the way, you know what Abraham was about? He was about pleasing God. He was about putting God first. Hey, guys. He wasn't about, if he wasn't invited to the party, I don't think Abraham cared. He's probably glad about it. All right? If he didn't know everybody in town, he didn't really care about that. I don't think he was being unfriendly, but you know what? He had something more important in his life. How about you? How about you? Some of you so worried about texting this girl or texting this guy and finding out what they're doing today, and I got to get in on it. And if I'm not a part of it, then I'm missing out. And oh my goodness, why don't you put that same priority on getting with God every day? Some of us will go a week, Zach, without reading our Bible. But man, if my friend, man, you didn't tell me we were doing that. What's wrong with you? Forget all that. Why is that so important to you? If they include you or if they leave you out, man, get with God. Can I tell you, that's a lot more important than all that other craziness. It was removed. It was removed from their crowd, from their course of life. Again, this is a quiet scene. This is peaceful. And guys, can I tell you, to get to this place, he had to reject some wickedness. A couple quick things. Go to, just write this down for reference sake. But I want to read this to you. Do you know, can somebody tell me about Abraham's family, his family lineage? His father's name was Terah. Does anybody know about his family? Okay, no problem. This is Joshua 24, verse 2. Here's what it says. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, notice this, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Do you know that Abraham's family that he grew up in, they served false gods? Guys, he wouldn't put such a priority on meeting with God unless he said no to that stuff. Unless he pushed that away. You say, why do you say that? Because guys, this was kind of a past situation that he had dealt with long ago, but he didn't allow his family lineage to hold him back from serving God. Listen, I'm not banging any one of your families. We hope they come to church, they get saved, and they put God first. All right? But if your family listens to the wrong kind of music, you got to say no to that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. If your family, if they live and they say, well, serving God's not that big a deal, you can say, Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. But serving God is a big deal. You shouldn't be disrespectful to them, but serving God is more important than any of that stuff. Well, all my family, man, we don't think it's a big deal to do this. How many times, Zach, have we heard, well, you know, in my family, all the men have bad tempers. That doesn't give you the right to have it.
Amen.
It's just natural. It's just in my genes. Well, you just need to throw them genes out and start living for God.
Right.
Listen, we worry about that stuff so much. This is just who I am. We all us feminists, we have bad tempers. Well, get over it. Get over it. Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, that's an excuse. Well, all of us struggle with music. All of us. You just turn on the wrong music and, man, we start. Hey, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Have some character. Have some discipline in your life. Say no to those things. You know, Abraham never would have met with God if he went for what was easy. You know what the Bible says? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Listen, you know what that's saying? You're never going to say yes to the things of God until you say no to the things of the world. By the way, you want the girl that God has for you? You're going to have to say no to the ones the devil has for you, because he's got a lot more.
Right.
You want the right friends? I think that's a pattern in life, Zach. You want the right friends? You got to say no to some of the wrong friends. Usually it seems like the pattern is not reversed. It's not, Kevin, like you're 5 years old and you meet your best friend and you're... Guys, serve God till you're 85. That usually doesn't happen. If it does for you, praise God. Good for you. Chocolate chip cookie for you. All right? But listen, most of the time it doesn't happen like that. There are some temptations that have to come, and you have to say no to those things, swat those things out of the way, and then God delivers his blessing to you. I mean, Abraham could have followed his family lineage. But guys, can I tell you, if there's things in your life that have just been passed down to you that aren't right, reject those. It's wickedness. Reject those. Well, I mean, all the guys in my family, I mean, you know, we go for them girls that, you know, they're not really living for God. They don't really dress right. That's not good for you. It's not good for you. So he had to reject the wickedness from his past as far as his family lineage. But if you, I think I told you guys to go to chapter 12. Flip up to 14. He also had to say no to the wickedness that was present in his life. Hey guys, listen, for some of you, your family lineage, okay, that's fine, but maybe that's stuff you've already dealt with in your past. And that's good. That's good. That's a needed step. But can I tell you, just because you said no to the devil back there, he's not going to say, all right, I'll leave you alone the rest of your life. He's going to come at you again. Chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. Actually, 21, so you can get the gist of this. Can I tell you, the devil has fierce lust that he's throwing in your face right now. Listen, hey, and for some of you guys, maybe your family hasn't struggled with those examples that I threw out. But you know what? The devil wants to make you struggle with it.
Yeah.
Even if your dad has victory over it, he wants you to fall to it. Even if your granddad was a great man, he wants you to fall to it. Notice this. Notice this. The king of Sodom, do you think the king of Sodom is a good man or a bad man? Bad man. Thank the Lord. All right, you guys are on the right track. Verse 21 of chapter 14. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Abram said, these are strong verses. He gets on it. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Time out. You say, all right, I'm lost. What are we doing here? There was just a battle that took place. And after the battle is over, Abraham was victorious, and he's got all the people, and he's got all the goods, all the stuff. And the king of Sodom shows up. Bad man, wicked man. He shows up and he says, Abraham, thank you so much for delivering all these people. Hey, can you give me the people back? But you can keep all that stuff, all those goods, all those animals and all those supplies and all those provisions. They're all yours, man, because you did a great job in rescuing all these people. You take it all for yourself. Abraham starts to preach it, man. He says, no. Verse 23, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Time out. You know what he's saying? I've already committed my life to God. He's saying, I've lifted my hand to God. He's saying, I've committed to God. I've confessed my life to God. I'm saved. I'm his child. I don't want any part of your stuff. I don't want your wickedness. I don't want your gambling. I don't want your drinking. I don't want your drugs. I don't want your girls. I don't want your sex. I don't want your casinos. He's saying, I don't want any of this stuff. And then in verse 23, he switches it from saying, I've committed my life to God, to saying, I don't want none of your stuff. Verse 23, I will not take a thread even to a shoe latchet. You know what that guy is, guys? A shoe length. He's saying, I'm not taking anything that's yours. I don't care how small it is. I don't care how minute it is in the world's eyes. I don't want none of your stuff. Why? Because it's tainted with wickedness.
Right.
Hold up. Do you want friends that have a little wickedness to them? A little fun in the world's eyes? You want some girls that have some spice to them? Little wickedness? You know, they got some of that going on. Or do you want something that comes from God, that's holy, that's pure, that's chaste, that's away from the world? How about you? Abraham says, I don't want any bit of it. He says, you take it all back. You take all the people and you take all the stuff. And you know why? I don't want any part of your stuff. Last part of verse 23. Lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. You know what he's saying? If I take your stuff, then you're going to tell all these people. You see that guy over there that's blessed? Yeah, I did it. This wicked man. This wicked king is going to say, I'm the one that's to credit for all of Abraham's stuff and all his blessings. I'm the one. You know what Abraham is saying here? God's the one that blesses me. And I don't want you taking any of God's credit, because I don't want any bit of your stuff. Not the smallest thing. Not a thread. Not a shoe latch. Keep it. I don't need it. I get my blessings from him. Wow, guys. Why was Abraham so blessed? He had to say no to some things, Zach. He had to say no to some sins of his family lineage. Dad, I love you, but you're wrong. Dad, I love you, but these gods you serve are not the real God. But then the devil came knocking on Abraham's door directly, not just the indirect route through his family. He came right through the front door of Abraham's life saying, here, take the blessings, take the provision, take all the stuff that I got for you, Abraham. It's all yours. And he said, I don't want one bit of it. You take it all back. I don't want one ounce of it. Keep it, because I get my blessings from God. That's what he's saying. Hey, guys, do you have the guts to do that? Can I tell you, it's easy to preach that. It's hard to live that. Because sometimes the devil says, oh, I got this for you. And he dangles it in front of you and it looks good. But guys, you have to remove yourself, reject that wickedness, the stuff of your family lineage and the fierce lust the devil throws at you. Guys, let's just be real about it. Hold on, young man, we're not done yet. We're about to be. But in case you're wondering what this message has to do with you, young man, this king of Sodom represents the devil. And the devil is going to throw lust at you this week. He's going to throw pride at you this week. He's going to throw envy at you this week and jealousy and bitterness and unforgiveness. He's going to throw all this stuff at you this week and say, no, they did that to you. You can't forgive them. You can't follow what God says. Hold on to it. Hold a grudge. Keep that thing seething and burning inside. Don't let them off the hook. Don't let them get away with it for nothing. You hold on to it. Young man, who are you going to follow? Mm-hmm.
He's going to throw that lust in your face. And guys, it's everywhere. You turn on the TV, it's there. You drive down the road, it's there. The girl's walking down the street, it's there. It's everywhere. You're inundated by it. It is a battle for a young man to stay clean and pure in this day and age. Everybody in the room should agree with that, because it is. If you're not gay, you understand that it's a battle to stay pure and to stay clean. And not just not have sex with somebody, but keep your mind pure. Right. Keep your heart right. By the way, you may not have messed around with some girl in that way, but if your mind's messed up, you're messed up.
Yeah.
And I'm messed up if that's the way we live. We need to ask God to get that stuff out of here. The devil's going to shove it in your face this week, young man. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
What's your answer going to be?
It's good.
I was preaching recently to another class about Judas. You know, Judas... He started listening to the offers. Judas was an unsaved man. We know that. But he told the chief priest, what will you give me?
What will you give me if I betray Christ? You know what they started doing? They started throwing out a price. Started throwing out different figures. And you know what he started doing? Listening. Hey, guys, does the thought ever go through your mind? Man, if that girl liked me, I don't know about serving God anymore. If they paid me that much at my job, that would be tough, Zach. That would be tough. Man, if I could do this in my life, oh, young man, if you draw a line where you will quit on God, I guarantee you one of these days, you're going to quit on God. If you already set up the parameters and you set up the contract and say, I'm not committing to it, I'm just kind of playing around. Can I tell you that's what the prodigal son did? He started figuring in his mind. He started fantasizing in his mind. And you know what you're going to do? This line is not going to stay there. It's going to keep getting lower and lower and lower and lower. And Zach, I've seen people sell out Jesus for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Junk. And it never satisfies. What's your answer? Abraham said, King of Sodom, keep it. I don't want one bit of your stuff. Keep it. Young man, how about you? You know what you need to say to the world? Keep your music. Keep your junkie girls. Keep your filthy friends that can only drink and throw up all over themselves. Keep it. I don't want it. We want them to get saved. We want them to change their life. We want them to turn to Christ. But if they say no to Christ, I'm saying no to them. Young man, that's the way it needs to be. Abraham was a great man. You see in this scene, he's there meeting with God. He looks across and sees the destruction of a city because they said no to God. But he had to live it in his life. He had his ups and downs, for sure. But he had a steady routine that he followed. And we got more to cover, but ain't no way we're going to do it today. The steady routine. Hey, guys, can I challenge you this week? If you've never done it before, guys, I mean this. Listen, please, everybody listen up. We're done. Close them up. Does that prove it to you? All right. Listen, I challenge this week, if you've never done it, please, 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 write this down if you need to. Find a place. Start meeting with God every day in the morning this week. Start working on it. If you've been doing it and it's gotten stale, push it. Go farther. Get aggressive, saying, God, I need you to speak to me. I don't want to just go through a routine. I need you to impact my life here. But guys, if you've never done it, if you start out with reading 10 verses a day, start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
20 verses a day, one chapter a day. Start somewhere. And here, I challenge you with this too. Before you open the Bible, say, Lord, speak to me today. Help me to be more like you. Give me one thing that I can learn from this that'll make me more like you. And say, amen, open your Bible and dive in. Guys, if you start doing that, George, if you start doing that, anyone in the room, I know some of these guys do it already, but if you keep working at that, I'm telling you guys, that's the key to surviving as a Christian. That's the key to thriving as a Christian. But can I tell you, it's so lacking. We can get excited in church. Yeah! That's right! Amen! But you know where the success of the Christian life is? You and God alone, meeting with Him, gaining that strength, gaining that encouragement. People will do you wrong sometimes, but God will never do you wrong. You've got to meet with Him and get your recharge so that you can keep living for God. Because I'm telling you, me, I'm nothing. But I preached, I don't know, thousands of times. But Kevin, if I unplug myself from God, doesn't care. I don't care how many sermons I've preached, how cool they sound, whatever. It's a matter of time. Might as well start the stopwatch because I'm going to fall.
Right.
And young man, you're in the same boat. You think you don't need it. You think you're good. You're not going to make it. And any one of these great men, listen, Brother Bob, pastor, God forbid, but any one of these great men that we look up to and they've sustained it for years and decades. And we think that's just how they are. That's not just how they are. They do it because they meet with God all the time. And they gain that strength. And they gain that ability to forgive the people. And they gain that ability to have the joy and to continue to persevere. Young man, I challenge you. I got a lot more message, but no more time. Take the lesson today. Find a place this week. Start reading and be dependable on it every day. Guys, it's the difference between you falling and destroying your life, ending up in Sodom with the smoke arising, or you standing strong, having a peaceful, blessed life. Not a perfect life, but a life that God blesses. It's all contained in this story as he's overseeing the smoke. Which side are you going to be on? Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your